Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern-day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today we have with us a special guest. We have Pastor Rick Cardell back with us. This is his third appearance on the God's Goodness Podcast, and he just has some amazing insights from the Lord. The Lord speaks to this man, he listens, he acts, and miracles happen. So when you know Pastor Rick, you will be blessed. I'm just grateful that we got to meet Pastor Rick because he introduced us to Wendy Lawson, God's Madcap missionary. We have a whole playlist in YouTube of all his referrals. And then Wendy introduced us to Delise and Justin Buckles. And then they also know, all of those people know Mary Gordon. And Mary Gordon, we just released her podcast episode previously to this one. So they all know Pastor Rick, and just it's just so amazing the connections and how all these people know one another. And I'm just so blessed. And I just look forward to hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say through Pastor Rick today, because I'm sure that God has something to say to everybody in every episode. And the guests always have something to share directly from the Holy Spirit. And I pray this is a blessing to everybody. And we're going to have Pastor Rick open us with an opening prayer. But before I get into that, I just want to say, if you could do us a solid and rate this podcast in Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that would be awesome, because it would help the algorithm know that people are enjoying this, and then it can get the word out to more people. So now I'll let us get into it. And if you could lead us with an opening prayer, Pastor Rick, that would be amazing. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, we so depend upon you. You're the author and the finisher of our faith as part of the Trinity. And we believe for you to lead and guide our thoughts and our conversations, make them pleasing to you and edifying to us, and minister your grace to the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So you said you had a word before we get into some stories.
Yeah, just about a week ago. I've always done this, but there was like an urgency to rev it up, okay? And that is to get as many people filled with the Holy Spirit as you possibly can.
Amen.
I was thinking, even in Pentecostal churches, when was the last time you heard a message encouraging people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to come forth in their tongues?
Yeah.
And so forgive us, Lord, for not being as astute in that, but a little bit of instruction for those who want more of God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very, very simple. All you do is ask, just like you asked Jesus to come into your heart. It's something you do by faith. And just like you had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus was your Lord and Savior, so it is with the Holy Spirit, baptism. Your mouth is always involved in faith. And faith, there's always action to faith. Now, no one can speak in their own language without using their mouth and their voice. And so, very simply, when we ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, we, by faith, begin to speak sounds, moanings, groanings. Bible calls it utterances. But you are the one who initiates. You're the one, just like Peter had to step out on the word of God to walk on the water. So that's the way we have to do. So I want to take a minute and encourage people, even now or after this podcast, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God doesn't pressure you, although he wants this so much for you, just like he doesn't pressure people to be saved or to be healed. But that's his will for us. And matter of fact, he commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right?
Amen.
Be filled with the Spirit, okay? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So here, just get alone with God, ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and then begin. You begin to, don't just sit there and try to allow things to come out of your mouth. you put some initiative behind it and begin to breathe forth, speak forth utterances, and in seconds, you find yourself speaking in an unknown tongue for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen.
I love it.
All right. So, shall we pick up where we left off last time?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going over these 20th century adventures of God. Pastor Rick had written down his adventures so they could be remembered for all time, because that's what God gives us these experiences for, so we can share them and encourage others and build one another's faith. And so that's what we're hoping to do with these stories. And I just hope they're a blessing to you and you guys can share them. So go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. So last time we left off, I was sharing a wonderful experience of speaking at a full gospel businessmen's fellowship international meeting in Ohio. And at that meeting, right before the meeting, the brothers prayed over me and with me. And there was a pastor there who had this word for me. He said, "The Lord shows me a burning bush before you, much like Moses saw. And I see you reaching in and taking a branch from that bush and carrying it with you where you go, much like a marathon runner passing the torch on to others. I see you spreading the fire and the power of God to others. Praise God. That has been so significant in meaning to me because of the following word that the Lord gave me some time ago." This was an interpretation of tongues on October 13th, 1984. They even marked the time, 9:48 p.m. And this is what the Lord said. The bush, the burning bush, was what I used to get Moses' attention on me. That was a wonder. For it is recorded in my word that Moses wondered why it burned and was not consumed. So shall I use signs and wonders in these days, my son, to prove herewith to these people that my presence is in a certain place. And yes, you will see, and others will see, fire burning in different places, yet things will not be consumed. There will be the glory of God on you, and at times people will be transformed by the glory and lifted right out of their seats or off their knees or up from the place where they were standing. Be prepared for the oncoming of turmoil because of these things, for many will scoff and say, 'Hey, that's not from God,' and will show forth their narrow-mindedness and their own inconsistencies with the word of my power. This is the hour, my son, when the flaming sword of my spirit will divide the true and mighty sons of authority and deliverance from those who only have a head knowledge of spiritual things. To be alive in this hour and at this stage is one of the greatest wonders and blessings I could bestow upon a man on earth. For this is the hour when my power shall come forth in the church and through the church to get the attention of those whosoever will come aside to see this sight and to hear the voice of the Spirit of God in the earth today. For it is true that the eyes of the Lord do go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those through whom I may show myself mighty in power. Yes, my spirit knows where to find those few who will allow me to do as I please, irregardless of what men may think."
Powerful.
Isn't it? It's a different kind of a word, you know? But there's times in churches when people do see the glory of God. Mm. And sometimes it appears like fire, you know, the glory.
How did you feel hearing that for the first time?
I feel good.
Right? Like, because that seems like a lot, especially for a younger,
right,
in the faith, for someone to say, "I'm going to lay all this on you in the name of the Lord. This is what shall be." I would be blown away.
Yeah. Well,
it clearly shaped you.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
I think it's important to note, too, that if it's during a specific time and the Holy Spirit notates that time, did you ever look that up to see if it went, the time went along with the Bible verse?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways that we were learning in Kingdom Seekers about learning to be more prophetic. Like, oh, if you see the numbers 1, 2, 3 on the scale, that might mean like, oh, all things are falling in line for you. You know, things like that.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. it was just training us to be more mindful of, be open to yeah. what the Holy Spirit's saying through those mm-hmm. things. So,
praise God.
I love that.
You know, you mentioned Ron Gordon, Mary and Ron Gordon, and they're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Mm. I mean, it's amazing.
They move, they step up, and they just do what God tells them to mm-hmm. do.
I loved it. I was sharing with Pastor Rick that Mary and I got to hang out at lunch, for lunch on last Saturday. And when Ron came home from a workout, he offered to sing me a prophetic word. And so he did. I recorded it. And then he sang one for Josh, too, which has a totally different tone. And he said, you know, did it line up? Did it match each of you? And I said, oh, yeah. That was so cool. So if you guys haven't seen it, the prophetic songs, they're on social media, shared in November. So it was just awesome. I like to listen to it over and over mm-hmm. because that was specific to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, what does that mean, you know, for me specifically? And it was just so great to hear from God through someone else.
I didn't get to meet Ron, but I got to hear the song. And when Mary was here, I couldn't help but think that she was like a spiritual butterfly. Right, just sensitive.
That
to
describes
every,
her.
Just sensitive to every temperature change, every wind change, mm-hmm. every difference in the environment that she would be sensitive to for being such a delicate butterfly. Right, and that when you were saying she was so sensitive in the spirit, that immediately came to my mind that she was like a spiritual butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, flying in the resurrection power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back to the Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting in Sandusky, Ohio. The meeting was blessed with the presence of God. And as Brother David Owen had prayed with me a week before when he was at our church, that the presence of God would go with me, it really, really did. We do carry the presence of God everywhere we go mm-hmm. if we're just cognizant of that. Well, Jerry, I don't know if... you guys remember, but Arlene's brother-in-law, the man with the back problem, had to get up and go out in the hall during the meeting because he had been sitting so long. And I was led to pray this, unbeknownst to him. Father, we know that you are out in that hall, and we ask that you would touch Jerry and heal Jerry now and give him a good night's rest tonight and every other night of his life. Well, there was a drought in Sandusky also at this time. And although they had had some rain a week before, they needed more. And I shared with them how on a Monday, we had interceded for rain in Pittsburgh, and that it had rained all night in my house. And also that on Thursday, when I was driving home from Altoona, I was asking the Lord for rain and was compelled to roll down the car window and yell at the top of my lungs, rain, rain in Jesus' name, a heavy rain. Then I praised God for it. By the time I got to Monroeville, it was storming and raining very hard.
Mm.
Once again, it rained all night at my house. So we used the scripture, Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 15, James 5, to pray for rain that night in Sandusky, Ohio. As we were leaving, a woman was going out the door and yelled, "Hey, Rick, it's raining." And rain it did. Some of us went out in it and praised God in it. One lady went all around the parking lot dancing in the rain and praising God. I tell you, it's fun serving Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
His goodness endures forever.
Reminds me of Rhonda Wiley when she was on. She shared about how she had been praying for rain, and then she went out and she told the Lord, "If you make it rain, I will go out and celebrate you." And she was on the phone with Marcy, another guest, and she was dancing in the rain, praising him because they needed rain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm.
Well, the vice president of this chapter came and got us the next day because, if you remember, our car was in the shop. Mm-hmm. He took us 2 hours away to an Assembly of God church where we got blessed all over again. The pastor and his wife, who couldn't have any children for 20 years, had a beautiful girl child who was 6 years old at this time. Arlene's sister and brother-in-law came and got us and then took us to the garage to get the car. Jerry, who didn't know about the prayer we had prayed for him, said, "I slept till 9 o'clock this morning. I usually get up at 5 because I can't sleep." Then his wife was witness to the prayer that we had prayed. I know Jerry was touched by God. He even said the night before that if anyone ever told him he would be at a meeting like this, he would have said they were crazy. He said he liked it. We were all hugging him, and he was blessed. He wasn't a hugger when he came in, but sure was when he left. The warmth of the saints truly ministered to him, and they knew that we were Christians by our love.
You know, one thing I noticed in these podcast episodes with you, there's a pattern to what you say. So you praised God, praised him first. You said your prayer, and then you thanked him in faith that he was going to do it. And he shows up every single time.
You're right. You're right.
Well, I mean, if we look back, it literally is the Lord's Prayer, right? It's modeled out. Everyone that doesn't understand, they think that the Lord's Prayer, you have to say exactly that. And it's not. It's the template for how you form your prayer, your situation, your things, right? How do you praise God? Like, what do you say to him in adoration? What do you say to him to exalt him? What do you say? Like, this is coming from your heart, right? And so right away, we can't say, you know, hallowed be thy name, unless that's coming from your heart. Like, tell him what you feel about him. Like, tell him how great he is to you. And that's very important. And I think if you model your prayers as Jesus modeled the model prayer, but plug everything around so it fits you and how you feel about God and how you feel about your situation, how you feel about forgiveness, and it's all going to click for you. For sure, for sure.
Yeah. It rolls. It's actually the Holy Spirit leading us how to pray in those moments, right? Because it's like it doesn't go through our mind. It just comes up from our heart. Well, you want to hear another story?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. This I call Mercy at the Hospital and Hardy Bible School. You know, Jesus said, "I was sick and you visited me." I was hired for a job at Mercy Hospital years ago, charting lab reports, and I loved it. What I had to do was twice a day, when we received patients' lab reports, I went through the entire hospital and added the reports to their hospital charts. So I literally got to pray for every person as I handled their charts. What a great ministry. I loved my work, and I wore a dress shirt, a tie, a white lab jacket, and a nice size cross made out of 3 nails on a red cord, and I shared my faith daily. One day, while charting in the ICU, I saw a large man whose eyes were sewed shut. I prayed for him in my heart, and in the hallway, his family members called after me, "Doctor, doctor, please, you have to help us. Our father shot himself in the head, and they had to sew his eyes shut to help them heal. They are going to transfer him to the psych ward, where they also have prisoners from the jail. People yell and scream down there, and if our father hears that, it won't help him." I said, "Well, I'm not a doctor, but I know who can help you." I took them into a nice room where the Sisters of Mercy went to pray, and I told them God could and would help, and I prayed with them. They were relieved and grateful. The next day, I got reprimanded by my boss. Seems the priest heard about it and was disgruntled. A co-worker who also was a Christian said, "Maybe the Lord will promote you to a better job." Within a short time, God opened another door. I left Mercy Hospital and was hired as a temporary with U.S. Postal Service. This was more money, and I even ended up working some shifts for another man who I had witnessed to and prayed for in the ICU at Mercy.
Wow.
Another circle.
Oh, my goodness.
He had healed up and had gone back to work. Thanks God, I always say, for letting me see the answer to our prayers. I had a hunger to learn the Word of God, and there is a Hardy Bible School in the Hill District of Pittsburgh. It's a very rough and dangerous area, predominantly black, and two brothers in the Lord were to meet me at what used to be the Civic Arena, and we would go together to check out this Bible school. Well, I waited and waited, and they never showed. So the next week, I searched for the place myself. The adversary tried to discourage me. No one I asked directions from would even talk to me. One person ran from me. I guess they thought I was a drug person or something, you know. And here was a white guy in a black area.
Or a narcotics officer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably what it was. You're smart. So I found the school, which operated out of a small church called Kodesh Church of Emmanuel. The yearly course, which was one night a week, only cost $5 a year. That was the cost of mimeographing the notes. I went for the four-year course and really learned how to study the Bible. Our teachers were old saints who really lived for Jesus. The president of school was Dr. Ken Barber. Ken was a well-sought-after, highly respected school principal. Many years later, he became the principal of our Christian school, Hillcrest Christian Academy, in Bethel Park. Dr. Barber is a great man of God. And one time at the altar at South Hills Assembly, I asked him if he was spirit-filled and prayed in tongues. He said no, but he wanted to be. So we prayed, and he received. He has led our school well, and even year by year added another grade until we have a high school. So in 2014, we graduated our first high school class.
Wow.
And Brianna Sutton was in that class.
Oh, wow.
Walden, okay?
Brianna Walden and Luke Walden were on one of our earlier episodes, so you can go back and hear their amazing story.
Yeah, and they're pastors at our church today.
Luke's going to be the executive pastor starting in January.
Yeah,
so I say, 2025.
God bless you, Dr. Barber.
Wow, that's
for the
so
many
cool
lives that you've touched and nurtured with the Word of God.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't it amazing how God crisscrosses our lives with others?
For sure.
Like we were talking about before this, you know?
Yeah.
And I just love it. When I graduated from Hardy Bible School, I had a desire to take a Bible correspondence course, but I didn't know of any. By this time, I was working at Bell Telephone in downtown Pittsburgh. And one day I walked into the office and one of the big boss's secretaries, who was also a Christian, handed me a Word of Faith magazine from Kenneth E. Hagin. I looked on the cover and there it was, Rhema Bible Correspondence Course. I literally shook under the power of the Holy Spirit and I took it. I devoured the lessons for 3 years and did very well, got my diploma. And then I said, well, now what, Lord? Because they don't actually ordain you, okay? They tell you go through your church and get your credentials. So there was a young and wise Pastor David Kirkwood that had me preach a few times when he was away and had also graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center. He had actually went there and did it. I took my correspondence. He said he knew my life in ministry and he would ordain me if I wanted. But as I prayed, the Lord said, no, seek credentials with the Assemblies of God. So I took many courses, correspondence again, and was interviewed by presbyters and soon got my license. Boy, am I glad that I obeyed the Holy Spirit in October, on the 19th of October, 1979. You see, I had awakened that Sunday morning, still belonging to the Catholic Church, St. Albert the Great in Baldwin, PA, the Holy Spirit said, go to South Hills Assembly of God. I'd never heard of such a place that I knew of, nor was I familiar with Bethel Park. But I looked in the phone book, found it, called, got directions, and I went, got the time of the services. I went and I knew in a moment that's where God was planting me now. So by the time I'd finished all my courses, I was well established in the church. In 1982, I believe, at a personal retreat at the Holy Spirit Animation Center, God spoke to me about ministry using Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. And when I came home, I knelt at the foot of my bed to pray. The word of the Lord came to me saying, you will go to all nations. I said, Lord, it's not that I don't believe you, but how? It's hard for me to get to church Wednesday nights. And he said, just be a Christian where you are. I will open the doors and you will walk through. Shortly after that, kneeling at the altar in church, God said, I've called you into full-time ministry. I answered, well, what should I do, Lord? Should I quit my job? He said, no, the transition will be smooth. You will phase out of one and into the other. Well, I excitedly told workers, co-workers at the phone company, I don't know how much longer I'll be here. God has called me into full-time ministry. One day at work at the phone company, the Lord said to me, go to Sol Mitzes, that was a men's clothier, and buy a suit. A Christian woman who worked at the phone company also, Helen Vasco, who had grown children and great taste in quality clothes, came along with me. As the salesman showed me two nice suits, out of my mouth, and I didn't plan on saying this, out of my mouth came these words, that's my 700 Club suit. So I began saying that I was going to be on the 700 Club. Another Christian woman at the phone company said the Lord told her to write the 700 Club, send them a copy of my testimony, and it all came to pass. They even did footage at our Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting downtown. And well, you know, in the beginning of the seventh year of my waiting to go into full-time ministry, I knew the time was at hand. I spoke to my dear pastor, Robert C. Owen, at the time, one of the greatest mentors I've ever had. He said, oh, be patient. God will make it happen. That year, I was led to read and believe and confess Job 22, verse 28, which says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And it surely came to pass, unbeknown to me, Pastor Owen approached our board to bring me on as a pastor. It was unanimous, and as I had decreed for a full year, that before the year was up, I'd be in full-time ministry, not knowing how that would come about. I was brought on staff on New Year's Eve of 1989, the very last day of the year. God's word works. And so I encourage everybody with Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Powerful. You know, I'm thinking back to when you were in the hospital and they thought you were a doctor. And they got your attention, and you turned around, and I can almost see your countenance change to that of Peter, right? Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have, I freely give, right? Like, that's immediately what popped in my head, and I feel that if I could have seen the look on your face when you realized what you could do, versus who you really were, I can't imagine that passage not even coming to mind, right, for you in that moment, and saying, thank you, Jesus, for giving me a moment like that.
Yeah. Amen.
I think that's just so cool. And, you know, obviously God's timing. Let's wait till the very last day of my promise. The last few hours left.
Why does he do that? Why does he do that? I don't know.
But it's for us. Yeah. It's for us so that we can see how good he is, so that we can build our faith, so he can see where we measure while we wait, right? Do we faithfully wait, or do we wait like Peter sinking in the waves? Do we forget so quickly? And I feel that he does that not for his edification, but for ours.
Right.
So that we know what to pray for tomorrow.
We certainly have to hold fast to our confession of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I find it important that it didn't matter how it was going to happen, mm-hmm. but you knew the who was going to make it happen.
Amen.
He's going to work it all out, because there's so many details that he's working out that we don't even know. And then when we find out later all the details, you're like, what? That is just so cool how he works them all together.
His creativity so much surpasses our own that I think mm-hmm. we often find disappointment sometimes when God shows up, because we don't recognize him, because he didn't show up the way we imagined it to happen. And I think we lose out on great blessings and great praises mm-hmm. when we have a mind that says, this is how I want it to happen.
Expectations.
Right? And we're trying to direct God's will as if that's somehow humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're learning. We're just children. You mm-hmm. know, in the Bible, it never says we're adults of God. We're children of God. Yes. And so, you know, he treats us that way as a loving father. And that's wonderful. And I'm very grateful that he does, because it could very easily not be that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he chose to be.
He knows all, and he's very patient with us.
Thank God.
Well, hey, do you want to hear some strange and unusual things?
We usually do when you tell a story. So
okay.
I don't see how this is any different.
Do you guys know Billy Burke?
No.
Oh, my goodness. He's a tremendous evangelist that God uses for miracles. He comes to Pittsburgh every so often. Anyways, this happened years ago when he was just getting started. Two of the most dedicated believers, and these people you have to have on here one of these days, that I knew were Richard and Maria Taylor. Maria worked at the Bell Telephone also, and they lived in a big house in Bellevue in the northern part of Pittsburgh. They had a prayer breakfast on a Saturday morning where Maria's mother cooked a huge all-you-can-eat spread. But the best part of the breakfast was the spiritual food prepared and served by a young evangelist named Billy Burke. I brought 5 cars of people to the meeting, and he called me Rick the Roof Ripper, like the 4 friends that brought the guy to Jesus and tore open the roof to get them to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Billy gave me a 2-part message from the Lord. And I'll only share the part that pertains here to this testimony. And this was the word: strange and unusual things are going to begin to happen in your life and ministry.
Well, he had that right.
Yeah. Okay. Keep in mind that at this time, I was not even a pastor.
Yeah.
I was just a person in the church. So I tucked that word away in my spirit. A short time later, a couple from the church at South Hills Assembly, Vince and Margot Labalardi, invited me over for dinner after church, because they said a man and his wife and his daughter were coming. And Vince says, I know that if you come, you'll be able to lead them to the Lord, because they're not saved. And so I did go. And that Sunday that they invited me, and all 3 of them accepted the Lord, that man, his wife, and his daughter. Hallelujah. So that night at church, I was basking in the glorious pleasure of that experience, you know. Heaven rejoiced, and so did we. In the very beginning of our service, though, I had a vision. And I saw myself going up the steps to the pulpit area, throwing my hands behind me, turning and facing the people. And I said, I have broken you the bread of life, and I have fed you with the bread from heaven. I really don't know what the preacher preached on that night, because all I could do was ponder this vision. Well, at the end of the service, something strange and unusual happened. A lady who I did not know came from the back of the church. I was sitting in the front row. She had a 31.5-inch loaf of bread. When I took it home, I measured it. You know, this is a big loaf of bread. She came to me face to face, eye to eye, and said, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, "Brother, the Lord would say unto you, ask big. Ask big. It's as simple and as easy as taking this loaf of bread. You have the bread of life in you to give to others." I said, "I received that. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord." Now, that happened on January 27, 1988. I saw the lady two other times over the next few years in various places. She's a woman who loves and obeys God and moves by the Spirit. 19 years later, I was sitting in the lobby of St. Clair Hospital to meet with a Jewish man who had recently given his life to the Lord. He heard of me, called me, and wanted me to talk to him about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. As I was telling him about the baptism, that woman walked by through the lobby. Mm. I excused myself from a man. I jumped up, went over to her, and she said, "Did you enjoy the bread?" She said she too was a minister now. Then she began prophesying to me. She said, "I have been faithful." She also said, "You are like a cedar of Lebanon whose roots go deep." And she encouraged me to look up facts about cedars and I would receive a better understanding. Well, some years later, we finished a tremendous city outreach with Franklin Graham here in Pittsburgh, where thousands gave their lives to Jesus. One night on the way home, a godly lady from our church, who was a very anointed singer, Rosalie Martin, told us that she had been paired up with another counselor. When the woman found out she was from our church, she shared with Rosalie the story about the bread. Rosalie said that, "I know the story about the bread. Pastor Rick has shared it many times." And she gave me another encouraging word. And it's just amazing. But, you know, the Bible says, "Give honor to whom honor is due." Mm. So I just like to thank God for the strange and unusual things that He's caused to happen in my life. And I want to give honor to Patty McIntyre, the bread lady. Mm.
How cool is that? How cool is that, that you have a vision with bread involved?
Yes.
At the front of the church, mm-hmm. right? Before you were anything, just a church goer, mm-hmm. right? Which is more significant than not being, right? It's like before you go anywhere, being a church goer is pretty significant, that you have given yourself to God in the least way possible. At least it's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But how incredible that she gives you this loaf of bread. That's huge, right? 31.5 inches long is a long piece of bread.
Yeah, I don't think that'd fit in our oven.
I ate it all. I cut it off pieces and froze it. And I thought, look, God gave it to me. I must be supposed to eat it, you know?
Well, yeah. Why not? Well, I'm sure he didn't want you to waste it.
No.
That doesn't seem like a God thing to do. No. Like, I want you to just put that there and let it just rot. Mm. Yeah, that's not him. Right. Enjoy it.
They say he's the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the word. And so you're supposed to take in the word every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a reminder. What a reminder.
Yum. I love these stories. It's just God showing up. And then he just brings a full circle. Another thing he reminded me of was someone else who used to work with you at Bell.
Telephone.
Mm-hmm. Is Annette Nugles. Before she...
No, she didn't work with me there.
Didn't she?
No.
Wasn't it someone?
I met her at an outreach that we did. Up in Arlington Heights.
Mm, maybe it's during while you worked there.
Maybe, yeah. Uh-huh. But, yeah.
Annette Nugles also has an episode at the early stages, so check her episode out from 2023 in November-ish, October, November. So she has a cool testimony, too. So I mean, I just love your stories and how God brings things full circle.
It is really incredible, and it is a testament proof that God works in those who are obedient to him. Mm-hmm. It is absolute proof. If you don't believe in Jesus, obviously it's not absolute proof to you. But if you have any anointing of the Spirit within you whatsoever, it should ring true. It should ring as absolute proof that God absolutely stands and blesses those and favors those that are obedient to him. You know, we've all heard the love languages, like touch and things like that. Well, God's love language is none of those. It's obedience. Mm-hmm. God shows his love by being faithful in his covenant, and we have to be faithful in obedience to him, right? This is his love for us. This is our love for him. He doesn't just love us because we did something amazing today. He doesn't just love us because I laid hands on someone and they were healed. It has nothing to do with it, right? He loves us because we're his children, right? And we should love him not because he healed somebody, not because he's going to bless me today, but because he is my father. And when we come at it with that attitude, with obedience in our heart, Pastor Rick is like your next calling card. That's who you are. You're the next level of Pastor Rick. You're the generation millennial or whatever you are listening that is obedient to God. You need to follow in these footsteps.
Be the light of the world. We are to be the salt and light, and salt flavors things. So flavor it up. And one thing that the Lord reminded me of, some people are never, ever, ever, no matter what you do, no matter how nice you are, they're not going to like you. And it's because, not because you suck, because it's what really is. And this just turned on a light bulb for me. The light in you irritates the demons in their spirit. Mm-hmm. And so it's nothing you did, but just keep on being the light of the world and encouraging others and letting the Lord use you to speak to others and encourage them. And with that, we ask that you share this podcast episode with others so we can encourage others with the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate all the listeners. And when you give feedback and rate the show, it just means a lot to me. And I greatly appreciate that. And if you are so led to give, we have 4 different links in our About section that you can give. There's Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. There's a Give, Send, Go donation link in there as well. And we also accept other ways of payment, and that helps us keep the podcast going. And with that, we will talk to you next time.